more hole in the roof. That's good. This was your barrel damage.
Yes.
Not damage to a barrel. It was damage from her.
Or from a barrel.
You never know. You don't know what hits your roof.
It's true. Some guy going over Niagara got caught up in a hurricane and flown at my house.
That seems like the most likely scenario.
Well, why do people wear barrels when they're going over over a waterfall?
I think it was just like the thing. You're like,
over a waterfall? Give me a barrel?
I don't know. In the 1800s were a weird time. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess they're just like bored. They're like, there's nothing on TV. There's no TV.
What's TV?
What do we got? Barrels. Yeah. All right. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Joe Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And no Lisa McCarter.
No, on vacation.
And no Patrick Sandra, our typical
Our subs.
Sub. Yeah.
We're playing a man short this week.
Yes. Yeah. We are wearing barrels, though, so hopefully that wakes up for it.
As would be the custom in ours.
Do you get that tailored? How does that work?
I think you get the straps tailored.
Okay.
And then, because it's like the cartoon, right? Where you wear the barrel and your legs stick out the bottom and your arms stick out the top and you wear it like a dress. I think that's how they do it.
Yeah, is that a gender neutral? How does that work?
You know? Yeah, it's like a, go anywhere changing station. You know, wherever you're going, you have your changing area ready to go.
I'm going to bring it back. I want to bring back the barrel.
Please don't do that at work. Please bring that back in your own community, far away from this building, while wearing a shirt that says, I work for whatever Baptist church.
I wouldn't see it.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's covered by the barrel.
Put it on the barrel.
It's Olympic season.
It is.
We're going to talk about it.
We are. I love
the fun parts of the Olympics.
I know. I love the fun parts of the Olympics.
Me too.
I've been watching every day. I'm getting Sophia into it. It's been real fun.
The Olympics is super fun. Congratulations. First medal winner for the U.S. So, and a Woodlands girl.
Yeah. Woo.
So congratulations.
In the 3-meter synchronized springboard.
Yes. She is connected to one of our ex-youth. She's now in college.
We are 2 degrees of separation from a Olympic
whatever
gold
her
medalist.
Name is.
Whatever her name is.
And congratulations to Simone Biles. Now, the highest decorated U.S. Gymnastics.
Yeah, with the team final gold.
Yep.
As of recording, she's not yet competed for all around, so who knows what other medals she may have won.
She gave more, but she's still the only record to break is her own.
That's right.
Friend of the podcast, Simone
Absolutely.
Biles.
Local here.
Whenever you're ready to come on, Simone.
We will gladly let you bring your medals onto our podcast anytime you want. We should, now that she's set a record that's worthy of our esteemed podcast, we should call her up and be like, hey.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
You've earned your way onto the Beyond Sunday. We didn't want any Olympic gold medalist. We needed the best.
That's right. The winningest Olympic medalist.
Michael Phelps, that's out there for you too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And probably some other people.
Usain Bolt? I mean, they can't all be the winningest.
Usain Bolt?
You say he's fast. Yeah.
He's pretty fast. Yeah, he could zip on over. Yeah.
He might have already come through here. We didn't even see him. He has, as of time of recording, he hasn't run yet, and that comes later. So I'm excited for that. The track is my jam.
Okay, interesting. I like the weirdies.
Yeah, sure. Those are all fun too. I've been watching like rugby and badminton and wacko stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I like. I like those weird things.
Yeah, but track is what I did once upon a time. So that's my thing.
Me too, and I hate it. All right. Anyway. Let's talk about boneless wings.
Okay. They're not wings. They're nuggets.
They're not wings. Agreed. Yes. And I think we actually talked about this on the podcast once.
Have
one
we?
Time.
Have we done this?
A guy spoke to like a local thing campaigning against boneless wings.
That's right. Boneless wings are not wings.
Saucy nugs is what he called them.
Somebody Wendy's has picked up this. Is this your thing?
No.
Okay. So this is a commercial that I saw recently that Wendy's is like now selling saucy nugs and advertising them as such.
Okay.
So this is, it's catching on.
Yes. It is not a wing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's chicken.
It is. Sure. Well, as much as any of them is chicken.
All right. Yeah, sure. I mean, I've got no reason to doubt Wendy's boneless wings. I mean, I should. But
I'd rather not think about it.
All right. The Ohio Supreme Court.
Love it.
Ruled that boneless wings can legally contain bones.
What? This is the kind of groundbreaking case law that you can expect from the great state of Ohio. I'm really proud of us right now. All right, give me the deets. What's happening here?
So a man at a restaurant ordered boneless wings.
Yes.
Ultimately ended up with a bone caught in his throat.
Oh no.
Tore his esophagus.
That sounds bad.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
And sued the restaurant. and went all the way up to the Ohio Supreme Court.
Because he ordered boneless wings?
Because he ordered boneless wings.
So he was not expecting a bone.
Correct.
And then there was a bone.
Yes.
I feel like there are some steps that he could have taken between that bone being on his plate and that bone being in his throat. But okay. Let's go ahead.
It's a small sliver. You know, like, okay. So you just, right. You know, it's not like it's not like they bought him like a chicken leg.
Okay. And he like just didn't
he
notice.
He just like ate it. Like,
boneless nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was feverish and able to keep food down. This is, you know, yada, yada, yada. Long, thin bone that had torn his esophagus and caused an infection. So there you go. All right, so the Ohio Supreme Court decided boneless wings can't have bones.
So this is like a food safety thing.
Yeah.
So this is like if I went to, you know, buy my Tyson frozen nuggets from the local grocery store and I brought them home and there was a bone in my Tyson chicken nuggets. Could I sue Tyson? Is that what this guy, this is essentially what this guy's trying to do?
Well, he was trying to sue the restaurant.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, that's the idea. Yeah, it would be that equivalent.
Yeah.
So there's a sliver of bone in my chicken and it's not supposed to be there. My food was not actually safe.
Correct.
And somebody should be held responsible.
And it was called boneless wings. I mean, sure. So the justice wrote, a diner reading boneless wings on a menu could no more believe that the restaurant was warranting the absence of bones in the items than believe that the items were made from chicken wings, just as a person eating chicken fingers would know that they had not been served fingers.
Sure. I mean, I do agree that I know I have not been served fingers when I'm served chicken fingers. I'm with you on that piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think this guy is, it's unfortunate that he's injured. I think that he probably should get some sort of assistance for this injury.
Yeah.
But I am with the Supreme Court, I think, that we should not have like a
Ohio. Just because it's Ohio?
No, there's definitely plenty of things the Ohio Supreme Court has done that I'm not on board with. But
dissenting justice called this utter jabberwocky.
Was this like a long party lines? Was this conservative liberal?
I don't
this
know.
Fall?
4-3. I have no idea.
4-3.
I
love that they couldn't even get on board together on this.
The question must be asked. Does anyone really believe that parents in this country who feed their young children boneless wings or chicken tenders or chicken nuggets or chicken fingers expect bones to be in the chicken? Of course they don't. When they read the word boneless, they think that means without bones, as do all sensible people.
I don't disagree with that. But, like, I don't know. You can also assume that you can eat with caution.
I mean, do you look for bones when you give your kids chicken nuggets?
I guess not. I don't know.
Because they're not. I mean, I'm actually with the dissenting justice on this one. It's called boneless. Like, that's the word that they're using.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I don't know why this is before, like, a Supreme Court making this decision. Maybe that's my my holdup is, like, do we really need the government to do this for us? Like,
evidently.
Apparently. I don't know.
Yeah.
The world's weird, man.
The world is weird.
Speaking of the world,
for the record,
what do you got?
I get real wings.
Yeah,
I want bone.
I know my bone. Wings. That way, I know where the bone is.
That's true.
No secret bones in my bone-in wings.
Yeah, for 100%.
Which I shouldn't have to say bone-in wings. I should just be able to say wings, and everybody should know what I mean. It's like going 100%. It's like going to Wendy's and ordering a Frosty. It should be chocolate. I shouldn't have to specify any of these other flavors. I just Frosty is chocolate. Wings have bones.
Yeah. Last week, Pastor Cassandra and I went to a trivia place for a wing place for the trivia night.
Yeah.
And we ordered wings.
There you go. Did they have bones?
They had bones, yes.
Well done. Yes. Bravo.
Bone in wings. Yeah.
Here's to you, wing place that had trivia last week.
Lemon pepper and spicy ranch. Those are my two flavors.
Spicy ranch flavor?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like ranch, but with buffalo sauce.
I mean, I understand the like ranch, but yeah.
That's really good.
So instead of like dipping it in ranch, the ranch seasoning is like built into the...
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
It's very good. I'm not a huge... like ranch is fine, but yeah. I think this is a very tasty wing.
Okay.
From Pluckers. There you go.
Pluckers. Little plug. That was a little buzz marketing.
All right, let's talk the Olympics.
Let's do it.
And not the fun parts.
I prepared for the fun parts. I'm ready to talk about women's rugby, and I've watched badminton. What else can we talk about? Ooh, table tennis. That's always a good one.
We're talking about the opening ceremony.
I don't want to talk about that.
Did you watch the opening ceremonies?
I have not had a chance to see it because we were going to watch it with my daughter because she's very excited about it.
And now you're like, not now.
Well, no, we went to see a concert on Friday night, so she didn't get to see it live. And then we've been watching all the events, and so she hasn't had time to like go back and watch.
It's also super, super long.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours. I don't have 3 hours to just like sit there and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're just watching... One, a lot of it is them on their little boats.
Right. Which is fine. Like, I want, yeah. You know, it's floating down the river.
Basically, you're just like waiting for America to cheer for them.
Right. in United States is way back in the alphabet, so it takes a while to get there.
But there's some controversy over the Olympic opening ceremonies.
Yeah. What do we got?
So evidently, you know, I did not watch. I tried to watch, and I could not find just like a clip on YouTube.
Right,
of this.
Because the IOC has this pretty well locked down as far as like
and
proprietary rights.
And then I
went
to Peacock, and it was 3 hours long, and I was like, oh, you know,
that's a long time.
So I've seen some stills. Evidently, at some point in the Olympics, they did a little bit of these art homages.
Yeah, like recreation. Like there's actually
tableaus.
There's a great scene in Arrested Development where where they have humans portraying famous pieces of art. That's kind of the idea.
That is correct. Yeah. That's a great scene.
Yeah.
That's a great
scene. Highly recommend Arrested Development.
Also religious art, so maybe if you're anti-Olympic ceremony, maybe not your bag.
Yeah, don't pick that one.
And one of these sequences may have been about the Last Supper.
Hard to say.
Some evidence for, some evidence against.
Yes.
So, and by predominantly drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a, you know, a table, or it looks kind of more like a runway. In my mind,
sure.
Because there's like a long red cloth in the middle of it, and then everybody's like on the other side.
And there's a plane landing on it, which gave away the runway feel. That's it.
I meant to like a.
I know. Sorry, I knew exactly what you meant. I was just
wow.
I'm trying to put off having to actually talk about this for as long as possible. So,
and there's one person on. There's a central figure.
Yeah,
they've got some sort of headdress that looks like a halo-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, a guy on like a dinner plate. Who's all blue shows up,
right?
And like sings a little bit, like, and it's weird.
It is. There's some weird stuff happening.
It's French, you know.
It is also French.
It's a bunch of French nonsense. It's probably what I would on first glance. I'd be like, a bunch of nonsense. Don't care. Not interested.
Yeah, I'm not French. I probably don't get it. It's probably not for me.
People were like,
some people were
the Last Supper.
Yes,
and they're mocking us.
Yes, they're mocking all Christians because they are doing a. Portrayal of Da Vinci's Last Supper from the, 14th century? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the Christianity Reddit.
Oh, Lord.
I searched, and you can search in their little subreddit there. And if you're not familiar with Reddit, it's kind of like a chat room, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you can just kind of, here's a topic, and people talk about that, and there's another topic.
Except it's like a chat room as long as there's no law. Like, it's like anarchy in a chat room.
I mean, there's definitely laws.
Reddit has seemed like a pretty wild place anytime I've gone in there.
That's fair. And I searched Olympics.
Okay. So you searched Olympics on the Christianity Reddit.
So this is the discourse around, because people are really fired up about this.
Some people are very fired up. I saw, before I had seen anything about the opening ceremonies, I saw people saying, I'm never watching the Olympics again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, what on earth happens?
Yeah. Like, So here are just the subheadings. These are like, here's this topic and people can comment on there.
Okay.
And each one of these has from 50 to 1,000 comments on them.
We are not going to read any of them, but okay.
No,
what do we got?
I'm going to give you all the subheadings here.
Yes.
Screw the Olympics.
Okay.
Thoughts on Olympics. The Olympics opening was not about you. Paris Olympics Last Supper misinformation. Olympics rage. What? Why are we wrong to be offended by the Olympics? The Olympics wasn't mocking the Last Supper. Or that's mocking is spelled wrong. Yet another Olympics post. The Olympics just mocked Christianity. Satanic Olympics. Paris Olympics mocked God. Were you offended by the Olympic opening? French Catholic here about the Olympic ceremony. Olympics upsetting a Hellenist.
A Hellenist? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Why is it okay for a Christian pastor to endorse shooting them trans people at the Olympics? Last Supper mocked at the Olympics marks Christian outrage. That's the only one that like seems legit.
Yeah.
The Olympics opening ceremony moment. Did the Olympics mock Jesus Last Supper? Video. Will God punish those who mocked his holy name on Olympics?
Not anywhere else, just on the Olympics. That's what
I'm going to say. Not one of those people is going to win a gold medal. In your face.
Yeah. None of them are going to win a gold medal. Probably none of them are competing at the Olympics is my guess. Though I don't know. Maybe, I don't think so.
So there's a lot about this Olympics.
A lot of opinions.
Ceremony.
Yes.
And I have not watched it. I've seen some stills. Mm-hmm. And I went on YouTube and I, you know, Googled Olympic ceremony and just trying to catch, could I watch the 30 second clip? And instead it's like all commentary about this and it's a lot. And I didn't watch any of that because I didn't want to engage in any of that.
Sure.
But
I had other things to worry about.
So, I mean, first glance, the first still I saw was mm-hmm. kind of the more Last Supper-y pose.
Sure.
Again, they're like, there's more than the 12 disciples. There's like 18 or so people.
Yep, a lot of people.
They're not in the disciple poses.
Yes.
There's a central figure that's clearly the central figure.
Sure.
And there's, you know,
people around them.
You know, nine on one side and nine on the other kind of a thing. Like, you know.
It's always
ish,
even. Yeah.
Ish. You know, like I didn't count. But like, it, you know, it's about that. And then I saw another still and there's some dude in blue like on a dinner plate in the middle of it. I'm like,
yes.
When this happened, like, you know, like,
I don't remember that.
Because I don't think this is Da Vinci painted that guy. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this.
Okay.
Why are people mad?
Okay. I think people are mad because they are interpreting this as people taking what they interpret as a sacred painting about Jesus and his disciples and I don't know, mocking it by portraying it in drag and portraying it in a way that is not respecting the holiness and sacredness of the moment. I think that's why people are mad.
Okay.
I don't agree with that particular assessment, but I think that's why people are upset.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to say it?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
You know, this intended mockery
of
one of our sacred ceremonies.
Sure.
Communion and the Last Supper.
Yes.
Even though Da Vinci is depicting an event he did not witness.
Sure.
Based on his interpretation. Like, I don't know what the Last Supper looked like. I can almost guarantee they all didn't sit on one side of the table.
That would be weird.
Insane.
That would be weird if that's what happened. Yeah.
That's crazy. They're not two 15-year-olds on a date who have to sit in the same pew. Our same booth.
Same pew.
Same booth. At the restaurant.
All benches are now pews. I love it. Same,
like we're all going to sit on the same side. Like, no, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's an artistic interpretation of an event.
Right.
But
they also probably weren't white.
Probably not.
Newsflash. Jesus and the disciples were not 14th century Europeans.
Probably not. Yeah. You know, to my knowledge.
I'm pretty confident in that one. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of anger about this. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen kind of like the response to it pretty heavily here.
Yeah.
Of Christians really upset of this is what the Olympics has done for us. Like you kind of mentioned, like the first thing you see is like, I'm never watching the Olympics again.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, okay, let's pause, you know, because I want to get to like, okay, should you be angry? And I think we're probably going to land on no, but there are Christians who are.
Sure.
But this is not the first time that the Last Supper imagery has been utilized for artistic homage, interpretation,
or
tableau, or even comedy.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mockery, even. Yeah.
Yes. I have seen most, you know, if you're thinking of like a TV show with a big cast going into the last season, oftentimes it will use The Last Supper as kind of like to put out an art
tableau,
piece as to kind of get people fired up. So The Sopranos did this.
Yep.
Lost did this.
Mm-hmm.
House did this.
Battlestar. Really? House? I didn't see that one. Okay.
Battlestar Galactica did this, which is really good. I looked at that and I was like, oh, I should rewatch that. It's because Battlestar Galactica is, Dwight Schrute aside, is a pretty fun little show.
Okay. I didn't know Dwight Schrute was on Battlestar Galactica.
Well, he was into it.
Oh,
in the
Office. Okay. That I knew. Yeah. I thought you were implying that.
Rainbow I also was. Saw Kittens Last Supper. I saw a Muppet Last Supper.
Yep. Simpsons.
I saw Simpsons Last Supper. Mm-hmm. I saw a food Last Supper where Jesus is a burger and they're all surrounded by foods. There's a lot out there.
I would love if Jesus was a bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. So I mean, and that's just a fraction of truly what is out there.
Yeah.
So many.
And we're not choosing to be offended by any of that.
I've never had that level of discourse around it.
Sure.
Like maybe there are people who are offended by that. I watched Lost and Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see, when those things were released, anything more than excitement over the upcoming season.
Sure.
And what does and like theorizing people's positions on like what does that mean to solve the mystery, not how dare they.
Yeah.
Like I did not see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this just culture war time? Like, we're just, everybody's on edge and everybody's looking to be offended.
Yeah.
Or is it the drag aspect? Is that?
I think it's both. Yeah. I think everybody's looking to be offended. And because it was drag, this was the thing, right? Yeah. I don't think those two can be separated, right? Yeah. I think had it been either what we'd call cis men portraying it, or, you know, at least people portraying it in traditional gender roles, I don't think we would have seen this level of outrage. Yeah. I think it is the trans issue and the drag issue that is concerning here.
Sure.
And because everything else around those issues has been heightened in our culture, we see this and we're just fired up and looking for anything to get fired up about. It's kind of like, I mentioned this to you the other day, right? A couple years back, when Starbucks didn't have the Merry Christmas on their cups or something like that, and you know, some people were like losing their minds. It's like we were just looking for a reason to be angry, and that was the thing. It wasn't a thing, right? There's no reason that Starbucks needs to say Merry Christmas. There's no reason that the creators of the Olympic ceremonies needs to have a particular, I don't know, understanding or respect of your faith tradition, right?
For sure.
But we were looking for a thing to pull a trigger on, and this is what it was.
100%. I'm definitely with you. I think we're looking to, we're all angry.
Yes.
And so that anger's got to go somewhere. Nella. Yeah. So it's got to go on something, and this is just what it landed on.
Especially think about the things that have happened in our, just in our world in the last 3 weeks leading up to this, right?
I mean, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for us, we had a hurricane. For the nation, there was an assassination attempt. A major candidate stepped down and a new candidate arose, right? Like, all this stuff is boiling in our culture as a country, as the United States. Sure. And then this flashpoint came along.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't think the French creative director was really thinking about American evangelicals.
I can guarantee the French creative director was not thinking about America. Because, I mean, that's a big piece of it, right? The French are not American.
No.
Their culture is not American culture. Their understanding of sex and sexuality and religion is not ours, right? It's different. And I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's just different.
Yeah.
And overall, like, there's a lot of stuff from what I have heard about the French opening ceremonies that reflected French culture, as it should, right?
Sure.
I mean, when we hosted the opening ceremonies in Atlanta in 96, you know, there was a portrayal of scenes of the Civil War, right?
Yeah.
Because it's reflecting American culture and, like, the culture of the city that they're in. It's part of what the opening ceremonies are supposed to do.
Yeah. And so then that leads to the next question.
Okay.
Is this actually the Last Supper?
I really don't know.
Yeah, because I've seen, including some people involved in it, saying this was actually about the feast of Dionysus.
Yeah, a bacchanalia. Yeah.
And, you know, blue dude who shows up on the plate, that is their Dionysus or Bacchal. Like, that's who it is representing. And there is a
Dionysus, quick Greek mythology, right, was god of partying, basically.
Yeah, basically.
There's a nicer way to say that, I'm sure. But
god of wine. Yeah. And there is a painting, you know, I think called the Feast of the Gods, that kind of looks similar. Like, again, it's kind of got that same, there's a table, everybody's kind of on one side of it. This one has, like, some characters in the foreground, but, like, basically kind of that, it's, Da Vinci's not the only person who painted people on one side of a table. You know, like, you're just saying.
Because nobody wants to see a painting of a bunch of people's backs. That's not a good painting.
Sure. Even the dogs playing poker, you can see all their face. Okay, I'm just saying.
Like, that's fair. Yeah.
They're not all on one side of the poker table, but you can't see everybody's face.
You get the idea.
So, and I've heard, you know, from some people involved, actually, this is what it is. It's about Dionysus.
Yeah.
And I've heard from some people involved that maybe it was about Da Vinci's Last Supper. Maybe they didn't know.
Yeah.
Maybe, because, again, we're probably more familiar with the Last Supper than we are with the Feast of the Gods.
Sure.
Or even who is Dionysus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and so I don't know. I'm not going to presume to know. The Olympics has apologized and did not, and said, you know, you were offended, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a weak apology, you know, admittedly. But also, like, I'm not sure what they're supposed to do in this
scenario. What are they supposed to apologize for? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Olympic, like, the IOC is not a Christian organization.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we expect from them in that instance, right? I mean, I just don't know.
All right.
Okay.
From our friends Irrelevant.
Okay. Still, we're still on the Olympics?
So we're still on the Olympics.
All right.
Olympic organizers respond to Christian outrage over the opening ceremonies. And I went to their Facebook page, and this story had over 300 comments.
Relevance Facebook page?
Relevance, okay. By far the most over the last month.
Oh, okay.
Like, again, people are fired up.
Maybe we should put something on our Facebook page, get some comments going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beyond Sunday, coming at you.
All right. We got some commentary that they're kind of putting out there, you know, from people in the Christian sphere.
Okay.
First from Candace Cameron.
Do we know Candace Cameron?
She was in Full House.
Who is she in Full House?
The oldest daughter.
Oh. What's her face?
DJ.
That's it.
I think.
Yeah, that's right. It's DJ. Yeah.
Yes. Candace Cameron Burr, and her husband was an Olympian.
Okay.
Yeah. This is what she said on her Instagram. Yes, we make this shareable on story, so here it is. My take on the Olympic Games opening ceremony. Since posting, many have tried to correct me, saying it wasn't my interpretation of Da Vinci's Last Supper, but a Greek god and the festival of Dionysus, who is a god of lust, insanity, religious ecstasy, ritual madness, etc. I still don't see how that relates to unifying the world through competitive sport and acceptable for children to watch. In any case, I'm not buying it. I hope you'll listen all the same, though. God loves each and every one of you, and his desire is for you to know him. I won't stop praying and calling on Jesus' name. Share the gospel message. There you go.
Why do we care what DJ of Full House has to say about this?
She's like a Christian person now. She's
like, I'm a Christian person now. Nobody asked me. Like, what?
I don't know. I mean, like, you gotta, you know, they're commenting peoples who out there in the public sector who are doing stuff.
Okay. All right.
She's got a lot of comments, a lot of likes on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Good for her. It's not even that I think her message is that wrong, right? Like, yeah, God does love you. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
God does desire to have a relationship with you. Okay, I'm fine with that. But like...
Well, if you don't care about Candace Cameron, maybe you care about Rob Schneider.
Yeah, I definitely care about Rob
Schneider. Do you know who Rob Schneider is?
I do know Rob Schneider.
He was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time.
That's about it.
Yeah. He was in some movies.
Bad movies.
Yeah, they were.
I'm sorry to all the world's greatest athletes. I wish you all the best, but I cannot watch an Olympics that disrespects Christianity and openly celebrates Satan. I sincerely hope these Olympics get the same amount of viewers as C-SPAN. What?
I think that was a dig at C-SPAN. I think that's what that was. It's saying like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody watches C-SPAN, so he's hoping nobody watches the Olympics.
You know, when the guy, the star of Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo... is concerned about respect for Christianity. We got to really, you know.
Yeah, we might want to think about our priorities here.
Yeah. Okay. Should Christians be mad about this? Let's get into this.
Should Christians be mad about this? My personal take would be, I don't think that you should care about this.
Agreed. I do not care, honestly.
I fought you on having this conversation because like I don't when we care enough to have this conversation.
Yeah, when we originally texted about this, we were both unified of like, we should not talk about this because we don't care.
Yeah.
And then we came in the office and we talked to Pastor Cassandra and she was like, you guys should talk about this. And I
noticed she's not even in the room.
Yeah, and I ultimately agree because I think this is a big moment in the Christian discourse right now. Probably in a week, it won't be.
Yeah.
But right now, it is. And maybe when this podcast is released, it won't be.
that would be timely for us, though.
That's classic Beyond Sunday style.
Here's the thing that everybody's done talking about it. We're going to talk about it now.
So, one, I don't think it's all that offensive. Again, I've seen the Last Supper in many different ways. So even if it is an homage, a tableau of the Last Supper, I don't really care.
Yeah.
And if it is about Dionysus, I care even less.
Yeah.
So I'm not personally offended by it, and
agreed.
I just don't personally care much one way or the other.
And if you're out there and you're listening to us and you're like, yeah, I really didn't care either, that's okay.
Yeah.
And like, don't let other people's rage make you feel like you are supposed to be enraged as well. If you're like, I just don't have the bandwidth to care about this, or I'm not emotionally invested in this, fine. Don't be offended by this. That's okay. You can, or just not care, right? You can say, I have no opinion on that. That's okay.
Yeah. So I did not see this as a mocking of Christian ritual and Christian ceremony. I did not see that. So that's one of the reasons I don't care. But some people did. And so I think we need to start thinking about that. You know, like, what if they did mean to mock and belittle and ridicule Christian ceremony and the Last Supper of Jesus? What is the Christian response? You know, how should Christians respond? Even if we're like, I think they did mean to mock us. How, you know, let me ask you that. How do you think Christians should respond to that?
Yeah, I do think that's a fair question. You know, and yeah. So let's take it out of the Olympics for a moment. Let's just say there's a legitimate moment when we, as a Christian, are offended because something has offended your faith in one way or another. And, how do you respond to that?
There are going to be art pieces out there that push the boundaries and ridiculed aspects of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And some even done by Christians. You know, like,
and sometimes those are movies. Sometimes that's visual art. Sometimes that's music, whatever. And so we've had people responding to this sort of thing throughout history, right? When I was growing up, it was the parents getting the labels on CDs so that you know, Christians were offended by bad language that was coming out on CDs. Sure. And so it was marking that. Or, you know, making sure that people were actually checking ages when you go into a movie and things like that, right? I mean, so there's always, even the whole, like, movie rating system is basically a product of the Christians in America saying we need to know what's in these movies before we send our children, right? Yeah. Like, that's all there because of Christians being offended about stuff at one point or another. So I think there are healthy ways to respond when you're offended by something. Rarely do those ways involve social media. I'm going to start there. I don't know that what we're seeing on social media is a healthy way to respond to being offended. I'll start there for a moment. I just think that, like, withdrawing from something, totally reasonable, right? Saying, I don't want to be a part of that. Great. I've been in plenty of circles, conversations where I'm like, this conversation is not for me. I'm going to step out of this. Like, this is, you know, whether it's offending me or offending people I care about, I'm going to step out of that. That is okay. Now, the challenge, right, is that there is something to be said for standing up for what you believe in, defending, I don't want to say necessarily defending the faith, but I think there's a sense of that. And also defending those who maybe don't have a voice to speak in a particular context, right? So, for instance, if I'm in a conversation and something is being said that's racist, and I just walk away, that doesn't actually stop the racist behavior, right? Yeah. There's something to be said for me, like, calling it out and saying, that's really not okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe I withdraw from the conversation or something like that. I think that's a place too. I'm going to pause there for a moment.
No. I think it's fine. You know, in my mind, when I look at Jesus and Paul, and I'm gonna try to draw from both of them.
Okay.
There are moments where Jesus kind of punches back a little bit against people or groups or statements.
Sure.
Like, there are moments where he kind of hits back, or he kind of comes back at them with his own statements, and like, you know, or his own kind of in this kind of, so, you know, in the debate of the day. Rarely. I think never do those moments come from Jesus to the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
They're always Jesus to those that claim to worship the same God of Jesus. Like, those are the people that get the ire of Jesus. Like, those are the ones that Jesus claps back on. And we never really see him do that to the Romans. Like, when he stands in front of Pontius Pilate, he's got really nothing to say. Like, you know, like, he's just not interested in engaging.
Not that he couldn't. Right. He doesn't.
He chooses. Yeah. Like, he's not interested in engaging that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the handful of times where he does talk to kind of like a Roman centurion or citizen, like, he is not interested in being like, by the way, Zeus... Or Jupiter, get that out of here. Like, you know, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, he is typically kind, you know, like, and things like that. Like, he's typically treats them with respect and dignity whenever he talks to somebody outside of that religious group that he's in. So his ire is most pointed at people who claim to worship the same God as Jesus and yet treat outsiders or the lowest rungs of society poorly.
Yeah.
That's the people he's mad at.
Yeah.
And then when Paul has enacts this awesome engagement with the Roman citizens in Rome, and has this like, hey, we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about your faith. We're going to talk about my faith. And he compliments their faith and highlights it. And they have a faith that's in a false god in Paul's point of view.
Yeah.
So they have a faith in a false god, and he is highlighting their faith and complimenting it. And he's complimenting their art. And he's like, when I walk around, I see this is a place where there's faith, where there's art, where there's wisdom and knowledge. And I'm complimenting all of that. And I'm asking you to point towards Jesus now. And I think even if the performers of the Olympics, and even if the director of the Olympic ceremonies and all those behind the table were like, we're going to get those Christians so good with this, I feel like that's our time to say, like, we see your art and we want to have you be pointed towards Jesus and not just like, well, I'll never watch the Olympics again. I just don't know if that really does anything to the discourse or actually moves people towards Jesus. It's just circling the wagons, and it maybe takes this inner group and makes us even madder at the outside world and even more entrenched with one another.
Yeah.
And it's harder for people to kind of like, tell me more about Jesus, about you're just so angry over a minute long thing at the Olympics where a guy in blue was like singing a song. Like, who cares? Like, you know?
Yeah, I think that's helpful. I think what I find most helpful in what you're bringing up here is how are we in our contemporary culture, you know, taking time to be genuinely offended at people who are misrepresenting Christianity, who claim Christianity.
Absolutely. That's far more offensive.
As opposed to things that are outside of Christianity, perhaps misrepresenting our faith, right?
Yeah.
How are we paying attention to pastors who are committing acts of indiscretion, to whole churches who are sweeping things under the rug, to individuals and congregations who are mistreating people in our midst, right?
Yeah.
How are we calling that out and being offended by that behavior is much more valuable of a conversation than how are we being offended by the non-Christian who mocks us, right?
100%. I'm far more offended by people who are paying lip service to Christianity without any intent or desire to follow the teachings of Jesus than I am about people who are outside the faith even mocking the teachings of Jesus. Like, that is just, for me as a Christian, I think Jesus would fight back stronger against that than those on the outside. Again, he had nothing to say to the Romans who believed in many gods and had no interest in, you know, the God of these Jewish people in Yahweh. Like, you know, he just wasn't interested in doing that. And so for me, like, even if you think this is offensive, if this is the most offensive thing that you need to comment on that's happened over the last week, the world is watching.
Yeah.
And like, if they're like, that's what matters. Like at the Olympic ceremonies, I saw like that 30-ish athletes were not representing their homelands, but were there to represent refugees. You know, like they're the refugee team because they don't have a homeland. Like, that's more offensive to me as a human than this Last Supper.
Sure.
Like that there are people out there who are there to compete at the highest level and they just do not have a home that they're representing because it's been torn apart by war and strife and things like that. And that's just more heartbreaking. And if that should be firing us up.
Yeah.
You know, like when people think of like, what are Christians about? Offended should not be the first word that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just getting us further in like, what are Christianity about? Offended. We're just offended constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
We don't need to be offended by everything.
Sure. Even when it's offensive.
Yeah. I think that's okay.
Yeah. And say like, okay, the world is going to always be the world. And that just is like, and sometimes the world will be offensive to the religious. All right, I do have one more point that I thought of that came to mind. And I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Okay, I'm ready.
Because I have heard from some Christians out there.
Okay.
They would only do this to us. They would never portray Islam this way. And usually it's almost always Islam.
Sure.
And the implication, and sometimes the explicit thing is like, because Islamist extremists would fight back. And the idea was, maybe we should do, right? Like, we're soft and that's why they go after us.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
Yeah.
That hurts my heart for a lot of reasons. I think for one, Jesus tells us to put away our swords. Jesus tells us to be peacemakers. At no point in the life and story of Jesus are we called to retaliate with violence enforce respect and our view of the world. That's not the call of Jesus. So if anyone is ever telling you that Christianity calls us to fight back, they have
Sure.
They have grossly misunderstood the message of Jesus. Yeah. So that hurts my heart in one level. The second piece of that, historically, there's an element of truth, right?
In France, there was an Islamic extremist that shot up a newspaper who published a drawing of Muhammad.
And let's be clear, Islamic extremists, right? Yeah. This is not all Islam. This is not all people of the Muslim faith. But Islamic extremists do tend to have a history of latching on to these particular things and carrying out violent acts as a portrayal. I don't know what to say to that, because I am not a good or strong enough student of Islam to know how they might be called to respond. But I know that it's not our calling to respond. I know that Stephen was martyred for his faith, and the disciples did not fight back. I know that any number of other apostles were killed or arrested, and they did not fight back. They didn't storm the jails. They didn't break them out, right? An angel broke them out. I don't think that counts in the same way that we're talking, sure, right? Yeah. It's not a mob coming in to take him out of prison or anything, right?
Especially, there was a time where the door of the jail...
Yeah. Was open.
Opened.
And they stayed.
And they just stayed. Because they didn't want...
No, you're good.
They didn't want the guards to get in trouble.
Yeah. We're not called to respond in violence. That is not... Like, if we think, it's the playground mentality, right? The way to stop getting made fun of is to be the biggest bully.
Yeah.
But then you're just the biggest bully. Like, is that really what the call of Jesus is to be the bigger bully? And I don't believe that's true. Like, yeah, sometimes the call of Jesus means you're going to be made fun of.
Yes.
In fact, I believe Jesus has something to say about when everybody else is going to revile you and mock you on behalf of my name, right? That you're blessed because of it.
Yeah.
That is a sign that you are following Jesus well. When the world rejects you and reviles you because you're following Jesus, you are doing something right. And that is not a time to fight back. That is a time to turn to God and embrace that following Jesus is hard, because the world is not always on board with following Jesus. And so if we're doing it well, we're going to offend people.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate the steak. It's really gross to me. The idea that, like, we're soft and that's why they can do this to us.
Yeah.
It, like, Jesus is the strongest, person who's ever existed by his willingness to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is not weakness, that is strength. And to endure mocked, tortured, and crucified is not weakness, it is strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if this is, like, again, even if this is intentionally offensive, we're going to get those Christians, it is strength to stand up underneath that and respond with kindness and love. That is strength, and that is powerful. Like, that is saying, like, you cannot hurt me because of who I know in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that is far more persuasive to this world, and I assume to the French, than how dare they?
Yeah.
than shouting about it online.
Yeah. Agreed. I think that's a good point.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Whew. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Be offended by the people who claim Christ first.
I agree. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, we've got like a week left of the Olympics when this comes out.
Yeah.
Or at least 5 days.
Yeah.
Track and field is going to be going on. Lots of other cool stuff is going to be happening. So, watch some of these incredible athletes doing incredible things and then critique them for minor mistakes that you could never make yourself. It's great.
Yeah.
I saw a thing the other day. It was like, you really got to stick that landing, I say, as I sit on my couch covered in Cheeto dust. It's like,
for sure.
That's the best part of the Olympics.
Yeah.
I also said something where I was like, I want to see one regular person try every event before we actually watch the event so we can know just how hard it actually is.
100%. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I want to see somebody do the 10-meter dive and just belly flop.
Maybe you should get drafted into the Olympics.
Oh, there you go.
Like,
yeah.
You're just like, your name has been chosen.
You're up.
You're in.
This is rapidly becoming like Hunger Games. I'm not
you're
sure.
You're the pommel horse. Do it.
Yeah. Hey, we haven't done a recommendation in a while, but we're talking about the Olympics. And so if you want to know more about another time when the Olympics were pretty controversial, Revisionist History by Malcolm Gladwell is doing a series right now on the 1936 Olympics and America's participation in that, leading up to Hitler and everything that was going on there. And it's been pretty interesting. I'm only like halfway through it right now. But if you're interested in like Olympic history and controversy and what are the Olympics supposed to stand for and how should America respond, it was a, a very interesting time to be an Olympian in the 1936 Olympics.
Yeah, if you think this is the most offensive Olympics ever.
Yeah, guess what?
Their opening ceremonies included the Sikh Isle, so, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. All right. That's a tough nut to crack to get on that most offensive ever list. Yeah. But that's all we got today. So if you liked what we had to say here, we'd love to hear your favorite moments from the Olympics. So you can send those to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And of course, find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.